Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's our financial planning expert. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, good, Jim. It's always good to be back after all these years.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And, it's been a whole month since you were here, right?
Right.
Rick, and by the way, folks, as I like to do, and as Rick is required to do, I'll set him up for his little disclaimer that he has to give us, his little soliloquy, I call it. What it does is it amplifies the difference between the traditional marketplace and the securities marketplace. In the traditional marketplace, basically, you know, you have rules and regulations and laws and ethics and that sort of thing, but they're also, you know, basically how you and I deal with each other is basically caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. But in the securities industry, it doesn't work that way. It's full disclosure. It's the industry of full disclosure. And with that in mind, Rick, go ahead.
Okay, Jim, thanks. You know, as part of our standard beginning of our show, we want to remind the listeners that discussions on this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making any important investment decisions. Securities offered through AIG Advisor Group, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and AIG are not directly related. Also, I want to remind the listeners that there's risk involved in all investments, and past performance is no indicator of future success, including the possible risk of principal. So thank you very much.
I love it when you talk like that, Rick.
Well, thank you.
Rick, one of the things, speaking of the full disclosure issue, the full disclosure scenario, I should say philosophy, and not only philosophy, but laws that are passed, the tax reform, securities laws of 1933, 1934, and all the others since then, Rick, all those have given rise to, and the practicing of financial planning have given rise to what the Financial Planning Association calls your FPA code of ethics, doesn't it?
That's true. And what they've tried to do is to codify different basic principles that we have to abide by. And for the people that are in industry, we take this very, very seriously because it's all part of that fiduciary responsibility and relationship we have with our clients. Actually, it's kind of a unique relationship to be a fiduciary. That same relationship you normally have with your doctor, your lawyer, your CPA. And it creates a special rule that says that a fiduciary, if they go to court, the judge holds them to what they call the prudent person rule, which means their client's interests always have to come first and foremost. And that's kind of the foundation for a lot of these ethical principles we'll be talking about this morning.
That's basically the definition. What you just said is basically the definition of fiduciary. People hear that term, and it's not something that we typically use in our daily lives. You know, you don't hear that hanging around McDonald's, you know, getting a Big Mac in the morning or an Egg McMuffin in the morning. But a fiduciary is someone who acts on your behalf. They're sort of your agent. But as your agent, they have to have no conflict of interest, and they have to be interested in your interests.
Yeah, it's like an extra layer of care that you won't get from many other professionals.
Right, right. It's something that is certainly required of anybody. You may get it in other professionals, but it's required of people who are in your industry, right, Rick?
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Absolutely. Require bankers have a fiduciary responsibility for their customers. Attorneys have something similar, don't they?
Yeah. In other words, whenever we look at a code of ethics, I think it expresses the professional's recognition of its responsibilities to the public, you know, also to its clients, its colleagues, even to its employers. And I think whenever a person is practicing a profession, they need guidance in terms of the performance of those professional services. And that's what these principles are all about.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of them. We've got the first one is integrity.
Right. That we, and when we talk about integrity, we're talking about the words trust and confidence, where integrity demands honesty and candor when dealing with something as personal as a person's finances, which is a, you know, it's a high level of involvement, mm-hmm. personal involvement with a person. And therefore, any sort of personal gain or advantage has to be, you know, taken out of the picture.
By the fiduciary, by the agent, on behalf of the customer and the person who's putting their money in. Stand by, Rick. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We got other elements of this code of ethics that you need to know about if you're going to do business with a stockbroker, with a financial planner, or anyone who is a fiduciary for your assets. 10-20 tail, actually. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Mr. Marvin Gaye, ladies and gentlemen, the late, great Marvin Gaye. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Can't even imagine life without music. I don't know about you folks, but I can't imagine life without music. I like lots of different kinds of music, too. And I guess you can tell that by listening to the music on this show. Rick Pinion is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Rick likes music, too, don't you, Rick?
Yeah, remember the Booker T and the MG.
Oh, yeah. Which one? Which song? They did a bunch of good ones. In fact, we have a couple of those clips that we play on the show. Maybe Roger will hunt a couple of them up and we'll get them up for you. Rick, by the way, folks, Rick is the president of Pinion Financial Services, and he's out of the Bethesda, Maryland area, which is hard by to our nation's capital. And Rick, why don't you tell us a little bit about your firm?
Yeah, in fact, we're right down the street from NIH and Navy Medical, not too far from Wisconsin Avenue.
Right.
We're right in the heart of Bethesda, which is not too far from the nation's capital. So we kind of serve all the jurisdictions here, Virginia, D.C., and Maryland, which puts us in kind of an interesting situation because we're able to attract people from all the different areas of the Washington metropolitan area.
Yeah. Give us the website again, too, please.
Yeah, the website is www.pinionfinancial. Pinion Financial is one word, pinionfinancial.com. And we have another website addressed to health insurance needs, and that's www.e, like the letter E, health, just like the word health, and A-N-D, life.com.
ehealthandlife.com, so check those out, folks, when you get a chance. Rick, we're talking about the Code of Ethics, the Financial Planning Association's Code of Ethics. We just talked about integrity. And integrity, you know, I want to quote a couple of things that some people that I whose opinions I have come to value. One's a friend, and another one's not with us anymore. I didn't know him. I just know about stuff that he writes. A guy named Lynn Morella is a good friend of ours, and he says ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. Now, you and I know that your code of ethics are actually enforceable. They're part of your organization, your association, and your profession. And if you don't comply with those, not only are you going to be you know, disavowed by your peers, but you're actually going to be breaking the law. But the people you want to do business with are the people who are devoted beyond what your rules say, you know, the letter of your rules. They also comply with the spirit of your ethics, don't they?
Yeah, and that's a very important area because, you know, there's the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law. It's important we abide by both of those common denominators.
And before we leave integrity, which is your first one, I always like to quote Albert Camus, the Nobel laureate of France, a French Nobel laureate, who said, "Integrity has no need of rules."
That's interesting.
Those are the kinds of folks you want to do business with. All right. Well, the second one is objectivity. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think when we talk about objectivity, of course, most people know the word object means you try to be as impartial as you can. to me, it also brings up images of intellectual honesty as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important that any professional, including a certified financial planner, maintain objectivity and avoid any subordination of his or her judgment that would be in violation of the code.
Mm-hmm. That's where this is one of the areas where conflicts of interest could pop up.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. How about the third one is competence. And this is where we get into your credentials, isn't it?
Exactly. For example, many certified financial planners also have CPA designations, which means they're able to offer tax advice. But any type of professional has to be careful about their adequate level of knowledge and skill when it comes to going into different areas, which require a lot of study and credentials and licenses. So therefore, when it comes to competence, the CFP, the Certified Financial Planner, has to make a continuing commitment to learning and professional improvement. And they've got to be careful not to step into those areas in which they're not qualified.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the reason why we like to, on this show before, Rick, we've talked about your credentials, and when you see a financial planner with all kinds of letters, you know, 20 or 30 letters after their name, those are actually good things to have, aren't they?
Yeah, and for example, let's talk about a little bit about working with a lawyer, because many times I'm part of a team where we have an estate planning attorney and we have a CPA and myself. And one thing I always tell people is I don't draft the documents. That's what the lawyer has to do. So each professional has their own boundaries here when it comes to competence.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to work with competent professionals.
Absolutely. Now, this fourth one's interesting to me, Rick, because this is the one that seems a little more subjective, and I'm a little surprised to see it in your list. It's the issue of fairness, the principle of fairness. Now, with all these rules and all these laws, obviously fairness is important, but how do you make that part of your ethics?
Well, I think fairness goes back to the golden rule. You know, fairness is treating others in the same fashion that we would want to be treated. It's an essential trait of any profession. And it also goes back to what you mentioned before, the disclosure of conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of, you know, subordination of one's own feelings and prejudice and so on to achieve a proper balance of conflicting interests.
Right, right. We got three more, folks, and we're going to take a quick break in a second. And when we come back, we're going to talk about confidentiality, which is a very important thing. And this is a big deal not only for financial planners. Professionalism, which we talk about a lot on this show, and diligence, which is another thing that comes up in the area of financial planning. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Rick Pinion. He's with Pinion Financial Services, and we'll be right back. It's 10 Till. Stay with us. Welcome back. There's Sweet Baby James for you. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's our good friend, the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. I'm Jim Blasingame, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use that to your advantage. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog also while you're there. And don't forget to check out the body of work that Rick Pinion has deposited with us over the years in the archives section of our Brain Trust. Under his name, you can go back and find lots and lots of visits that he and I have had that we've recorded for posterity and for your benefit. So I hope you'll use those to your advantage. Any kind of a topic on financial planning you can think of, Rick and I probably covered it. We're talking about ethics right now, and Rick, the next topic in our code of ethics list is confidentiality. You know, Rick, some of these you shouldn't actually have to publish, should you? I mean, shouldn't confidentiality just be understood? I mean, isn't this another one of those things where integrity has no need of rules, that confidentiality should just be understood?
Yeah, that's a good point, Jim. In fact, you and I were thinking along the same lines, because I'm thinking when I go to my doctor, I assume that the doctor is going to keep my medical information confidential and not blab
right
to the next patient coming in. I just assume that. But I guess putting it in writing reminds us how important it is that the privacy of each person is very, very important. And also we have to safeguard, you know, the confidentiality of information these days. For example, your 7 o'clock show talked about HIPAA, the Health Insurance and Portability Act, which
right.
demands confidentiality of medical records.
Bill Hubbard, yeah, he's our our medical privacy expert. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is, Rick, of course, you've got young people coming in, new people coming into the industry from other industries. They might not know. If they're brand new to the marketplace, they might not understand about the importance of confidentiality. I mean, I'm so old at this, and you are too, that any little teeny tiny little crack in the dam of confidentiality, and my antenna go up immediately. Don't yours?
Yeah, especially when people start talking about other people on a personal level,
yeah.
or
yeah.
makes you worried they might start talking about you later.
I'm a confidentiality Nazi. Rick, I can't help it. I just think it's critical, and I'm certainly glad that it's one of the tenets of the code of ethics of financial planners. And confidentiality is what you just said. I mean, it's literally, you know, taking great pains to keep other people's information confidential.
Right, and that creates that relationship of personal trust and confidence.
And it doesn't just mean keeping your mouth shut. It also means managing their information on paper, electronically, and otherwise, doesn't it?
Having a big shredding machine.
how about the next one is professionalism?
Yeah, I think professionalism, when we hear these different terms, it brings different images to my mind. And when I think of professionalism, I'm thinking about dignity and courtesy. For all those people that use the services of professionals, it's an obligation to cooperate, you know, with your fellow colleagues, no matter what industry that you're in. It talks about things like public image, and every profession has a public image. And by the way, these days, Jim, all you have to do is turn on the radio and hear about all these scandals and things like that.
Right, right.
And you wonder how in the world these people got through this mirage of all these rules and regulations. They were able to commit some of these horrible things that they did that brought their professionalism down and really hurt society's image of a lot of professions.
Laws and locks are for honest people, Rick. If you want to be dishonest, if you want to be unethical, if you want to be a crook, you'll find a way to do it. Even if there are laws, even if there are locks. Rick, the next one is diligence. Talk to us about that.
Well, diligence to me means not being sloppy. It means being prompt. It means doing things in a thorough manner. It includes proper planning. It includes all those things. When you think of diligence, you think of being on top of things. It's almost like a student, like an A student that does mm-hmm. everything properly. It also allows for proper supervision of professional services. Diligence is something that I think some people have to work at. You know, some people are on top of these things, other people a little bit sloppy. You can't be sloppy and do diligence.
Diligence is perseverance. It's tenacity. It's being over the top in your attempt to do the right thing, isn't it? It's all those things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's being a professional.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the reason why I think they should put professional on the bottom, because professionalism wraps up all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rick, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Well, thank you. It's
always enjoyable
being here.
Give us your website again, please.
www.pinionfinancial.com.
Pinionfinancial.com. Thanks, Rick, for being here. See you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.